My name's John. I'm a sinner. But God and I are working on this, and in his community, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. We're looking today at step six in the famous 12 steps. Became entirely ready for God to remove our defects of character. And what I want to focus on now is that phrase, entirely ready, because we've been doing all this work and I'm ready for God to change me and for God to remake me. I'm ready, except for where I'm not ready, where I want to hold on to. Like, God, make me patient, but I need to yell at a few drivers today. Make me honest, but I could use a little deceit to smooth things over and get out of trouble in this relationship. Make me kind, but there's a couple of people I'd like to let have it today. Maybe the poster boy for not being entirely ready is St. Augustine, probably the most influential Christian since the Apostle Paul in the history of Christianity. But he had a very colorful sex life before he turned his life over to Jesus and really struggled with that and literally prayed this prayer. You might remember this one. This is Augustine. Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. You know, I want my sexuality to be governed by you. I want to be somebody where there's just purity of thought. And if I'm a woman with a woman and she's not my wife, I think of her, treat her like my sister. But I got a little lust I would prefer to gratify first. So not yet. So what do we do with that? This is a state that the Jesus' brother James in his book talks about as double-mindedness. He says the double-minded person is like a wave on the sea. It's driven forward one moment and backwards the next. We lack what a philosopher, Harry Frankfurt, called internal integration of the will. It's divided. And of course, because we are moral agents made in the image of God, I have a conscience. So if I try to set my will on something that deep down I know to be wrong, I will be double-minded, even if I don't want to be. It just simply goes with the territory. It turns out that my character defects are kind of like Wesley. If you've ever seen, there's an old movie, The Princess Bride, and his friends think that he's dead, and they bring him to Miracle Max, and Miracle Max says, no, he's not totally dead. He's only mostly dead. And mostly dead is partly alive. And it turns out that my defects of character, even after I seek to give myself to God, are not completely dead. They're just mostly dead. So I need to bring them to God. Now, the place that we begin with this is to understand how critically important it is, this process of being cleansed by God, being sanctified by God, is the most important journey, developing the right kind of character, being freed from the habit and pattern of sin, and clothed in love and joy, you know, is terribly, terribly important. I was thinking about this one. I'm going to shift to the overhead cam for a moment. There's a couple different conditions that I can be in. I can be guilty or I can be innocent. And I can feel guilty over here, or I cannot feel guilty. And this sets up a little 2x2 quadrant. So if I am guilty and I feel guilty, then that's a state of truth. My conscience mirrors the condition of my soul. If I'm innocent and I feel innocent, then that also is true. Now, if I feel guilty when I'm actually not guilty, that's basically kind of being neurotic, and that's a problem. If I am guilty, but I don't feel guilty, that's a condition that might be called callous or spiritually blind or unrepentant. And it's interesting. In our therapeutic age, and here I mean not so much people who actually do therapy like my friend Dr. Rick or lots of really good therapists, but pop psychology, as it expresses itself often in arts and culture and so on, in our day, we often feel like this is the most serious problem. This is what really needs attention. The problem is that you're crippled by guilt feelings and you shouldn't be. For the writers in scripture, and by the way, in 12-step groups of recovery, this issue where it's like, nope, there's things that are wrong. There are character defects I have, and I have not yet addressed them. This is the one that's taken most seriously because this has to do with that which is in my house, that which I can, with God's help, actually overcome. And so what I really want to work on is the removal of defects of character. So what do? And here the classic statement from 12-step communities is, don't just do something, sit there. And I don't mean this glibly. It is not, advice for how to live your life 24/7. Often doing something is good. Here's the deal, though. Very often, my defects of character are at work, and I lust, or I envy, or I resent. I feel pain over this. I judge other people. I feel less than. And so then I choose my strategy of choice. I try to control others, or I become a workaholic, or this substance, or whatever, in order to allow me to escape the pain. And then I'm not looking at what's actually going on. And so here the invitation is, stop medicating yourself with that drug of choice. Could be social media, whatever. And allow the pain from my broken soul to clarify itself so that I can become entirely ready for God to remove it. This is sometimes talked about as being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And another fictional story, kind of a strange example of it, but it makes it terribly clear. There's a movie from years ago starring Bill Murray called Groundhog's Day. And he plays this character who goes to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. He's a weatherman. He's going to cover Phil the Groundhog. And he ends up going through the same day over and over and over, thousands and thousands of times. And he's kind of a bad guy, self-absorbed and ego-driven. So he goes through a series of responses. And initially he says, gosh, there's no consequences. I can do whatever I want. And so sex and whiskey and donuts. But then eventually he gets kind of sick and tired of that. Then he decides he'd like to seduce his producer. So he learns stuff that will impress her. But inevitably, eventually she sees through that. That grows a little tiresome. And so then he becomes a savant on one Jeopardy episode and an expert card flipper. But that gets a little wearisome. And then he is so broken by all this, he tries to kill himself, but he can't. Every day, it's the next day. Until finally he hits bottom. He gets sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he begins to notice other people. And he cares about art. He learns how to play the piano and make beauty and read literature. And there's an old man that dies, and he's crushed by that. So he helps that old man, and he helps a kid that's going to fall out of a tree and rescues a guy who's choking using the Heimlich maneuver and becomes a new person. And his defects of character, as a gift of grace, are renewed, but it begins when he becomes sick and tired of being sick and tired and gets entirely ready. So that's the invitation today, to move towards entire readiness. I want to give you one concrete step that you can take. You can do it right now if you want to. Think about one of your character defects. Let's just use resentment for the moment, but you choose whatever you want to. And do a cost-benefits analysis. This is used by a clinician by the name of David Burns, and I've had therapists that I work with that will do this over different areas of my life. But, you know, Jesus says, count the cost. If you want to follow him, you just count. What will the benefits of following me be, and what will the cost be? What do we have to let go of? And this is a very effective way to look at the parts of my life. So do a cost benefits. For example, David Burns here talks about with your anger. Now, sometimes we only do it on one side. Dietrich Bonhoeffer would talk about the cost of discipleship. G.K. Chesterton said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and often not tried at all. But Dallas would say, now, yeah, you got to count the cost of discipleship. You also got to count the cost of non-discipleship. what's my life going to look like if it's just given over to not following Jesus and following the path of least resistance to resentment or lust or deceit, self-centeredness, ego, envy? Do I want to end up with that, really? So just take a moment to think about a resentment in your life. Here's David Byrne's example. Advantages of my anger. Here's stuff I put on the asset side. It feels good. The person I will understand where I blow up at him, that I strongly disapprove of him. I have the right to blow my stack. This person will know I'm not a doormat. I'll show him I won't stand for being taken advantage of. I can at least have the satisfaction of revenge. But then what are the disadvantages of mismanaging my anger? I will be souring my relationship even more. He will want to reject me. I will often feel guilty when I think about how I've mismanaged my resentment. He'll probably try to retaliate against me. My anger inhibits both of us when it's mismanaged from correcting the issues that caused the problem in the first place. One minute I'm up, one minute I'm down. My irritability makes people around me never know what to expect. I might make neurotics out of my children. As they grow up, they may resent my explosions and see me as someone they would rather stay away from. So, this is the invitation of Jesus. It's quite brilliant and very helpful as we're working on step 6. Become entirely ready for God to remove my character defects. As I walk through the day-to-day, God will show you your character defects. He will send people that will elicit them. It will just happen, or situations. Do a little cost-benefits analysis. What does it really cost to become the kind of person who goes down that road, mismanages my life in significant ways? And then we're becoming entirely ready. And then keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you can pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.